Acts chapter 28 from the verse number 11 to the verse number 31, which is the end of the book of the Acts of the Apostles.
And after 3 months we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the Three Taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him.
3 months the gospel has been not only preached, but lived by the Apostle Paul and the rest of the disciples that were with him, helping him. And I, being just a weak man and a disciple, I would like to know how many people got converted. Of course, here we don't find any information about that. It's possible, I think, that at that time none declared faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe some of those that professed to have been converted were not approved as such. Could be anything. We simply do not know. And I believe that someday, when all the redeemed ones get together around the throne of the Lord, it's going to be a wonderful and amazing story to hear from each individual how the Lord led them from darkness to light, from death to life, from sin to Christ the Savior. So after 3 months on this island, the group with the Apostle Paul, the prisoner, the soldiers, and now another group of sailors probably, are sailing to the next place, which is Syracuse. and there they tarried 3 days. And Luke is not telling us anything about these 3 days. Did the whole group wait in Syracuse? Did they spend that time there because of the others, because the ship had to do some business, deliver some load and receive another load and so on? Or were there some other reasons, like preaching, sharing, testifying and so on? But in any case, I believe that there was a reason. The Lord has furnished for them a reason to stay there for 3 days, and it was not in vain. It's also possible that if Luke did record every minor detail here, that there would be a lot of repetition. Paul did preach the gospel. The others in his company witnessed to the people. Some believed, some refused to believe. That's something that happened everywhere. And apparently after 3 days, they sailed to the next harbor, the next city. And there they found brethren. And they were desired, that means the brethren probably desired Paul and his group to tarry with these brethren 7 days. Apparently, that did happen. Apparently, Julius, the centurion, had no objection. And apparently, nobody objected to that seriously. So I would think that around Paul the Apostle there was a whole group of new converts, and spending 7 days in one place where there already exist, live some believers, some Christians, was a wonderful experience for both the hosts and the visitors. I cannot imagine anything less but a week of wonderful, well, wonderful is not sufficient to say, glorious fellowship with the old believers and the new converts, with an apostle and these Christians that were local here. I think that that was an unforgettable experience for all of them. Again, practically nothing has been recorded because similar example have been recorded earlier. We remember the experience in Miletus with the elders from Ephesus and the other groups of believers, that all these experiences were so meaningful and so memorable. And now we have the last stretch of their journey. They are leaving this place and going toward Rome. That journey toward Rome was a distance of probably over 100 miles. So I would think that even if they didn't walk all the way, they still traveled more than 1 day, probably 2-3 days. But then we read something very interesting in the verse number 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum, which is about 50 miles from Rome. So some of the believers from Rome were so eager to meet the Apostle Paul and the other fellow believers that were in his company that they did not mind traveling about 50 miles, which in those days is not exactly a cute little walk. This also indicates that the believers in Rome and vicinity were informed of Paul's coming prior to the moment of their meeting so far from Rome. So I would say that the same brethren that asked Paul and his company to stay with them for a whole week were zealous and careful enough to send a messenger and to let these other believers in the city of Rome and the vicinity of the Rome city to let them know what is going on. And the response was just as warm and just as loving. When Paul the Apostle saw these brethren, these Christians coming to meet him and the other believers, and when they met together, it was quite a relief. Paul thanked God and took courage. And I wonder why. What was his concern? What was his anxiety? What did he worry about? Well, I don't know. But I can imagine. I can imagine that Paul was wondering what kind of voices came from Jerusalem. How much would these believers in Italy believe the false accusations from the Jews from Asia and other parts of the world? How much the Christians would be inclined to believe the gossip of their relatives, other Hebrews? How much the believers of the Gentiles would know how to discern between falsehood and truth? But I think at the moment of their meeting, it was so hearty, so loving, and so joyful that that loving kindness dispersed all Paul's worries and anxious thoughts. So Paul thanked God and took courage. I think that this is just a tiny opening for us to look into the heart of an apostle of Jesus Christ our Lord. The man who is facing death so many days of his ministry and his pilgrimage, he is so concerned. What are going to think the fellow believers, those whom he desired to strengthen, encourage, those whom he would like to bring closer to see the Lord Jesus Christ, not from a great distance, but right ahead of them, and to follow him without any reservations. When they arrived to Rome, the centurion Julius delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, and Paul was allowed to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. So Paul had a guard, but he was apparently walking freely, living freely, and I would think that in the process of time, this guard became a Christian too. Apparently at this time there was quite a community of Jews living in Rome and around Rome. So after 3 days, Paul called the leading people, the leading persons among the Jews, and when they were come together, he said unto them, "Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or custom of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans." And then Paul told these Jews that the Roman authorities, the governor in Judea, had no reason to keep him a prisoner, but the local Jewish authorities in Jerusalem were very persistent, accusing Paul, and so he had to ask for the protection or hearing of the emperor. Paul explained to these Jews that he have no desire to accuse his people, for when one goes to the emperor, hardly anyone, any man can predict what's going to come out of that. Emperor was just a man, but he was a man in a high position in the empire, and his words could be life or death. Of course, we know that nothing can happen without the will of the Lord. The Lord is the one that can turn around the heart and the mind of the emperor, no matter how madman he could be. God has the power to rule the world. Of course, it's not a pleasant thing for a Christian to use the law enforcement against anyone, and yet there are moments and situations when that is necessary and quite justified. And in this case, it's obvious that that was the will of the Lord. To me, this looks like very affectionate way and manner, the way and the manner Paul was speaking to these Jews. And he said, "For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak unto you, because for the hope of Israel I'm bound with this chain." It's very interesting how they answer to him. "We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee." So practically the name of Paul of Tarsus, or Saul of Tarsus, was unknown here among the unbelievers, and especially among the Jews. They did not know him as enemy number one, as did the Jews from Asia and Jerusalem, Judea. And then they said, "We desire to hear of thee, of that teaching. For as concerning this group, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." They're probably referring to the group of the Nazarenes, or the followers of Jesus of Nazareth. "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging." So his lodging must have been a very spacious, wide place, where quite a few people could be together. And Paul expounded the scripture to them and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, Jesus Christ, both out of the law of Moses — that's a special art and spiritual gift that Paul had, uniquely, I should say — and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. These were long sessions, long lecturing, witnessing, reaching out to the hearts and minds of his fellow Jews. And again, we have the same situation as in many other cases and many other areas. Some believed the things which were spoken, and some of them believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word. "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto these people and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive, for the heart of these people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." These are the words of God, the message of God to the unbelieving Hebrews. We read here, some believed and some believed not, and since they could not agree among themselves, they departed. Which ones? Both. those that believed and the others that did not believe, they both departed. What is the problem here? What is so difficult for them? They are Jews and they will stay together regardless of their disagreements. And they believe the gospel, but not sufficiently that they would forsake their Jewish customs and turn to the Lord wholeheartedly. They're just bound one to another, whether they like one another or not. They're the Jews and they stay together. Now, is that patriotism? Is that special love and commitment to their own ethnic group? Whatever it happened to be, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ stand firmly. If anyone loves anyone or anything more than me, he is not worthy of me. And nobody hearing the gospel can save his fellow unbeliever by staying with him. The only way we can help, if we can help at all, is when we hear the call, we answer, and we forsake everything and follow the Lord Jesus. There is no other way of helping believers or unbelievers. In the verse number 28, Paul is saying, "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. You can reason as much as you want to. You can talk as much as you want to. You can argue as much as you want to. If you don't forsake everything and follow the Lord, you are lost. In the two closing verses, we read that Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Paul had a Christian center, a teaching school, a place from which he proclaimed the gospel of the Lord, right there in Rome. And the opposition of the gospel was not able to do anything against that, for the Lord has spread the wings of his mercy and grace over that place, calling unto him the souls that needed his wonderful salvation in Christ. And these 2 years ended. But the Acts of the Apostles never ended yet. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached. And the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are very relevant today. Pray ye unto the Master of the harvest, the Lord of the harvest, that he bring forth his laborers into his harvest. And also, let each one of us continue in prayer to be a witness to the truth of the gospel, to be a living testimony of God's goodness and grace upon all those that trust and obey his Son. May the Lord give us grace and power to live the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so we shall fit into this same book that still is being written and recorded by the Lord's Spirit, because the testimonies of the Lord are not going to fade away. They will live forever.